This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The show, Stephen A. Russell. How are you?
I am almost dying after my tram stopping about two blocks too soon. So I've sprinted here, but nothing is going to stop
me. Lucky you got here. You got here just in time, so that's all right. The movies are on.
Well,
so
you know.
What have you got for us?
Well, it's almost a good segue into the challenges of life, you know, based in on the basis of sex, which is Mimi Leder from The Leftovers. Film about the young years, the origin of Ruth Bader, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Yep. Now, it's kind of divided audiences a little bit, but I actually think Felicity Jones is really, really good in the central role here. And, you know, it really focuses on the challenges she had to overcome being one of very few women allowed into Yale to study law. And then even after graduating, she switched to Columbia, even after graduating, she struggled to get, you know, a gig as a lawyer in New York, you know, the most litigious city in the entire universe. But what she ended up doing is going into teaching for a few years. And then after that, she joined the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, and really through them took on this incredible game-changing case where a man had been, you know, disallowed from an IRS, you know, kind of discount because he was the caregiver for his mum. Mm. And so she saw this in where, you know, with women in so many statutes prejudiced against, she saw this in where she could make it about a man's story and how it negatively affected him and therefore, you know, how it negatively affected everybody. And so, look, this is great. And Armie Hammer is really gorgeous as her husband, Marty. They had a famously enduring love story. And
is it because, I know somebody that went to see it yesterday.
Yes.
And they said it, they found it interesting, fascinating and all that. Mm. But because it's really not part of our world, you know, like, do you reckon that makes much of a difference to the film?
I don't think so. I think the conversation about women's rights is as pertinent now as it ever was. And I think that's a universal story.
And her husband was very supportive in a time.
Yeah, I mean, he had bouts of cancer, but he did also really, you know, put a lot of effort into supporting her.
Yep.
Look, I thought it was gorgeous. It reminded me a little of the kind of, you know, positive, popular take on, you know, feminist power that we got in Hidden Figures last year. There has been a tiny criticism as well that the film doesn't focus on the kind of anti-Semitism she would have faced in the 50s and 60s as well.
Yeah.
So on that basis, you know, it could have gone further than just the sexism stuff. Mm. But look, I really enjoyed it. It's really rousing. It's a great companion piece to the fantastic documentary RBG from last year, which gives you a much fuller picture of, you know, her whole life.
Yep.
But
cool.
What a legend, and well worth seeing, which is a great segue into another female legend. And I know, David, this one's particularly dear to your heart, and that is the documentary Maria by Callas by Tom Wolfe. Now, what I love about this, David, is that, you know, the myth of Maria Callas being this kind of, you
bitch.
Know, total bitch, absolute diva. Yeah, exactly.
And well, didn't she, you know, like the phrase diva?
Yes.
You know, like she was the diva, wasn't she?
And look, there's a real argument put forward in this documentary that is, again, a myth made by men surrounding her.
Okay.
So what this documentary does that makes it really unique is it's only in her words.
Right.
So a lot of that is archival footage, including spectacular operatic performances.
We should mention who she is for those people that might not know who Maria Callas is.
Yeah, she's a legendary opera singer.
So born in America to Greek parents.
Yep,
and
brought
then,
up in Greece.
And she was was Anassa's like mistress a lot
sort
of the time.
Of, yeah, I mean,
and around the time of Jackie as
yep,
well.
Yep.
So you know, like there was really interesting stuff there. But at the time, she was the most famous opera singer in the world, wasn't she?
One of the most famous people in the world. I mean, it really is a case of, you know, everyone was talking about her. And so what this film does is give her back the voice. So
yep,
as well as there being loads of archival footage, it's also American opera singer Joyce DiDonato also narrates from her letters and her diaries.
Right, okay.
From Maria's letters yep, and diaries. So it really kind of shows a different side of the story, that, for instance, that all the many demands that she made might have been because her first husband and agent, he was the one that was really going hardball. And okay, so it was through his demands that she got associated.
Right.
You know, a couple of the shows that she didn't do or she cancelled halfway through, it really shows that she was working solidly from a kid to, you know, quite, you know, at least 40 years, and she was exhausted a lot of the time. Mm. There's also the great heartache of her love that was not fully reciprocated by Aristotle, and the great betrayal when she found out about his marriage to Jackie in the newspapers.
Mm.
And then, of course, he dumps Jackie and kind of goes back to her, but only temporarily. I mean, it's really
quite
riveting.
It's an opera in itself.
It really is. I mean, it's life imitating
art. It's got all the drama of a real opera, hasn't it?
It really does. So, look, I thought that was a spectacular one as well.
Yeah, well, it's getting awesome reviews.
Yeah.
And even if you don't know who she is, I reckon it's a nice little history lesson to find out about this amazing, you know, like, woman. And a legendary woman that has sort of in recent years been forgotten about.
Absolutely.
Well, I think she died very, very young too. She was only 53 when she actually died. So, yeah,
which is very young.
The operatic world did lose a master of the voice.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, that goes to, was she just driven into the ground, both by personal heartache and, you know, an insane work ethic as well. Mm. And look, there's also little beautiful, little unexpected moments. Like there's a great archival bit with one of her, I can't remember which, but one of her sort of iconic performances later career in New York after being away for a while. And there's all these gorgeous young gay men lined up in the queue overnight.
Of course there was.
You know, she obviously clearly was an early kind of, you know, Madonna or Kylie that had this
gay
huge
icon,
gay icon following, yeah. A bit Judy Garland, you know. And they camped out overnight just to see her perform. And yeah, it's quite haunting, you know. You'll have a wee bit of a tear. Now, speaking of tears, that's a great segue to probably, well, there's two more kind of big Oscar contenders to come. And the first is At Eternity's Gate by Julian Schnabel. Now, he did Before Night Falls. And what this is a beautiful biopic of the final days of Vincent van Gogh, played by Best Actor nominee Willem Dafoe.
Yep.
Now, this one is stunning. There have been quite a few films, even recently, about van Gogh, but what I think this one does more successfully is it really kind of gets into his head, into his state of mind, and into how that translates into his paintings. You get a real sense of the talent and the torture of the man. And look,
because what a tragic story. You know, like Maria Callas was tragic as well in a very different way.
Yep.
This man, I've read so much about him because I think his art is absolutely incredible.
Stunning.
And you know, like, and a lot of artists go through that whole, you know, going mad.
Yeah.
And which he did. And the fact that he only sold one painting in his life, and it was to his brother, who stuck up for him all through it and supported him so much, and how he's probably one of the most expensive artists in the world now, his paintings.
And look, Rupert Friend has a beautiful small role as the brother, and their relationship's gorgeous. Mm. You know, it's obviously a story about, you know, mental health you know, lack of understanding in art. Way ahead of its time.
Yep.
Oscar Isaac is also fantastic as the similar but different spirit Gauguin.
Mm.
And you've also got a great little cameo from one of my personal favourites, Mads Mikkelsen, as a priest who really tries to understand. It's a one scene, you know, barnstormer of a, you know, show stealing moment where he kind of really tries to understand this creature that is well beyond his ken. Mm. And look, this really is a beautiful film, and I challenge anyone not to cry.
Oh,
buckets.
Oh.
And which is another great segue onto.
So how many stars would you?
Oh, look, I'm going to give that 4.5. That's my personal favourite of the fortnight, and that's out next week.
Right.
The first two are out now.
Yep.
And yep, that one is out.
You got to go back, Stephen. I think we missed the rating, the stars for the first
okay.
two.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm going to rush through
sorry,
then.
Sorry, just very quickly.
No. So on the basis of sex, yep. I'm going to give 4. Okay. I still really enjoyed it. Some people don't agree. I really enjoyed that one. Maria by Callas is a 4.5. Oh, absolutely okay. Haunting, as is Eternity's Gate. And then last but not least, yep. we have the latest from Moonlight director Barry Jenkins, If Beale Street Could Talk. And this is yet another really melancholic, beautiful look at the African-American experience in New York. You know, it's based on the novel by, you know, really well-known activist, author and playwright James Baldwin. And what it posits is a young couple in love, played by Kiki Lane, who plays Tish, and Stefan James, who plays Fonny. He is the subject of police harassment and falsely incarcerated, which leaves her pregnant and standing by him. And Regina Hall is Oscar nominated and the most likely winner in Best Supporting Actress as Tish's mother. Now, look, again, just like Moonlight, this is a really powerful look at those issues, what the black community faces in America, the prejudices, the hardships, the roles they're kind of co-opted into. I absolutely loved it. I didn't quite love it as much as Moonlight, which I thought was an absolute elegiac poet. You know, it was a sublime piece of work. This one's a little more mannered, and it does do, David, you'll know this, I mentioned this before, it does that thing that really irks me where it decides to narrate a lot of the plot at you, and rather than just, you know, trusting you to get the emotions. Yeah. And
we're
the
not
meaning.
That dumb.
Yeah, yeah. And look, James Baldwin's language is beautiful. It doesn't need to be, you know, deployed clumsily in an overbearing, interrupting narration.
Yep.
But look, I'd still give it 4 stars. And once again, the thing that really makes it stand out is James Laxton's cinematography. It's so beautifully shot and so beautifully lit. And once again, the score by Nicholas Brittle.
And what's it called again?
That's If Beale Street Could Talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, 4 stars.
4 stars.
Right.
So brilliant. Lots of powerful films out there. Get yourself out to the cinema and see one of them.
Okay. So next week we find out all about Queer Film Festival. So in a fortnight's time we'll be chatting about that.
Fantastic. Yep. I can't wait. I've had a sneaky peek at some of them. And let me tell you, it's going to be a powerhouse year. I cannot wait.
Okay. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.